Well, why don't we start? I think I know I expected a small group this time because I know lots of things are going on, but it's wonderful to be back here and to be able to share with you some things that I've newly learned in this anniversary year of Frédéric Chopin and Robert Schumann. But as I discovered in doing this and preparing this, Clara, Robert's beloved and wife, clearly plays a very important role in this as well. So we're going to talk a little bit about her as well. And I've divided it here, just we'll do Chopin first, and he died first, and he had less time to deal with this, to develop his career and whatever. So we'll probably spend more time on the Schumanns than we will on Chopin. But some general things about Chopin. Chopin's music does not suggest to us the music of Bach, I think, on first hearing. And therefore, it's fairly astonishing to discover just how important the music of Bach was to him. And that was due, in fact, I think, to the very first teacher he had in Warsaw. His teacher was a Czech violinist, not even a pianist, so he couldn't have taught Chopin very much about the keyboard. And this is really interesting because Chopin seems not to have had any piano teachers. He basically was self-taught as a pianist, and that would be really interesting to talk about too, by the way, because his ideas about what's the most natural way to play on the keyboard and so on are very different from the things that we have learned in our time, but that's a different subject. But there was this Czech violinist, now if I can get the name right, Mike tried to help me this morning, Wojciech Żywonia, which sounds very Polish to me, but he was apparently Czech. He was the first teacher of Chopin, and apparently taught him virtually nothing but the music of Bach. So right from the ground, going up, you have this foundation of Bach in Chopin's mind, in his musical being, and it infiltrated his thinking, his musical thinking, as a teacher, as a performer, and as a composer, which is not to say, of course, that his music sounds anything like Bach's. I'll try to explain a little bit of that. Then, after his study with this violinist for about 5 or 6 years, I've forgotten the precise dates, he then studied with Joseph Elsner at what we might call the Warsaw, what became the Warsaw Conservatory, which Elsner actually founded and directed. And with Elsner, he studied a theory and composition, and one of the two main texts that was used was by Kirchberger, who was, of course, a student of Bach. And his treatise is filled with examples drawn from Bach's music. So here again, the Bach imprint was imposed very, very strongly. Incidentally, the other main text was by Albrechtsberger, who was, of course, one of Beethoven's teachers. Chopin apparently knew a lot of Bach's music, but he played only, I'm getting a little ahead of myself, only the well-tempered clavier. But the fact that he studied the well-tempered clavier so intently, so consistently, so thoroughly, that at one point, when he was teaching somebody a lesson, he sat down and played 14 preludes and fugues out of the well-tempered clavier by memory for this student. And his comment was, when she just expressed her awe and admiration, he says, "This one never forgets." Well, I'm not so sure that's universally true, what's her name? Angela Hewitt, is going around the world right now playing the entire well-tempered clavier, both books, by memory. So it can be done. And my own teacher, who, weaned me on Bach from when I was very, very young, could also sort of do something like that. She seemed to have every inner voice in Bach's preludes and fugues memorized. But Chopin went a little further than that too. One of the things he did in the late 30s was to sort of amuse himself going through the various Parisian editions of Bach's works, correcting them. Felt that he said, he corrected not only the errors of the engravers, and this is him writing a letter, but also the accepted errors of those who supposedly understood Bach, not pretending that I understand better, but from the conviction that sometimes I can guess. And what he was doing this, by the way, is the same year that he finished the Preludes, Opus 28, one of which we'll talk about a little bit. And later in the 40s, 1843, he received a score of the St. Matthew Passion that had just been published by Schlesinger, and he apparently studied that. So we don't think of Chopin being so concerned with the vocal music, but he apparently knew that. So throughout his life then, he showed, and I'll have further examples of how important, how constantly on his mind Bach was. But he clearly was grounded in Bach, and that's the critical point to be made here. I throw in the next, as the next topic, I think an interesting question about Chopin's aesthetics, if you will. You know, is he a romantic? Is he a classicist? The topic of this lecture is Bach and the Romantics. Yet I think if you were to ask Chopin himself, he would say he was not a romantic, but rather that he was a classicist. He in fact had very little interest in the music of the Romantic composers that were his contemporaries, people like Berlioz. And don't forget, he lived in Paris, right? Most of his maturity, short as that was. He didn't like the music of Robert Schumann, who discovered him and who wrote in his in the Neue Zeitschrift für Musik, you know, hats off, gentlemen, a genius. So, but he just had very little use for Schumann's music, apparently, and it's very romantic and it's sort of a storytelling aspects and that kind of thing. One of the things that really does set the Romantics apart, I think, is the fact that they were literary. And Chopin, despite his liaison with George Sand, the author, a woman who went under the pen name of George Sand and with whom he had a flaming affair for a while, and of course he met all the literati, but he didn't really have an interest in literature the way that, say, Schumann or Weber or even Wagner and Liszt and these folks did. So in that sense, you see, Chopin was really apart from these romantics, and his gods were Bach and Mozart. Okay, those are the two people, and Beethoven too, but he saw Beethoven is deriving an awful lot from Bach, and Mozart too, but for him, Bach was numero uno throughout his life. And also there is a certain classical quality Chopin's music. He doesn't do a lot of the kinds of things that, for example, coloristic effects just for their own sake. You can really analyze his music in terms of the kind of traditional ways of seeing voice leading and seeing strands of polyphonic melodies going through the textures, not in the strict sense that you might find in a Bach fugue, but it is that kind of thinking behind it. Delacroix, the artist who was a good friend of Chopin, even reports that one time they had a discussion and Chopin dumped on those composers who simply try to exploit color, which is really a description of a lot of the romantics and especially the French, and I think of Berlioz in particular. He had his head then more in the 18th than in the 19th century, although, of course, his music does have the sound of the 19th century in terms of the kinds of harmonies he uses and so on. Chopin as pianist, there is one exception to what I just said, but I should at least mention it, although it's not going to be part of this talk fundamentally, and that is the fact that one aspect of contemporary music that really did interest Chopin was certain composers of Italian opera, like Bellini, I think we're all aware, because he loved that kind of thing. He loved the singing and the song and the melody, and certainly that had its own kind of influence on his writing. But that's not what we're focusing on today. Chopin as pianist, he obviously knew a great deal of Bach's keyboard music, and except for one occasion when he apparently played the D minor triple concerto, triple keyboard concerto, with Liszt and Ferdinand Hiller, for a benefit concert when he was 23 years old. We don't know of anything else he ever played as a performance of Bach except from the Well-Tempered Clavier. But he did know the other music. And he I'm going to keep, this is going to be a, you know, you're going to hear it with Schumann too. The well-tempered is this absolutely critical central building block of these people's musical lives. When one time in the 30s, 1830s, he went off to Mallorca with George Sand. The only music he took with him was the well-tempered clavier. When he was asked how he prepared for concerts, and you know, in most of his concerts, he played his own music. He knew everybody else's music, and apparently could even play it by memory, but he didn't perform music of Mozart or music of Beethoven, like Clara Schumann did. He mainly played his own music. But the way he prepared for that, he said, it was, for the 2 weeks before that, I play nothing but fugues of Bach from the well-tempered clavier. That's how he prepared for the performance of the music of Frédéric Chopin, which makes a lot of sense if you start seeing this music as being not simply melody and bass, or as many pianists play it, too many pianists, just simply melody, and the bass you can't even hear, but in fact much richer than simply those two voices.